Grace to you and peace from God who is, was, and who is to come. Amen. So I saw a commercial the other night. It starts off with several different people coming on the screen, and each one looking directly into the camera and saying, "I promise," until the last person comes on and says, "I promise to never compromise." And she holds up a phone. And then the other people all come back on the screen one at a time, each one of them saying, "to never compromise." And it shows them doing something wonderful and marvelous on this new phone. And there's all kinds of accolades about the phone going on the screen. And in the background, we hear a song that goes something like, "I won't compromise. I won't say goodbye. Dreams I've had since I was five. You can never break me. I won't compromise." Now, it's a much catchier tune than what I just did for you. I went out to YouTube, though, to listen to the whole thing, and I was able to find it. It's written by a young woman, Molly Kate Kestner. And as I read through the lyrics, as I listened to the whole song, Molly is singing to those who are attempting to put her down and to stop her from achieving her dreams, or who are trying to change her from the artist that she sees herself to be into the artist that they see her to be. But in the commercial, all we hear is a little hook, "I won't compromise." And I wonder if many of us thought of that as we listen to our gospel lesson this morning. Because here in our gospel lesson, we've got Jesus in Jerusalem at the beginning of his ministry, or at least in John's gospel at the beginning of his ministry. He's there apparently to celebrate Passover, which is, of course, one of the high holy festivals of Judaism. With the Passover, the Jewish people are celebrating their departure from Egypt and from being under the thumb of the Pharaoh. And one of the requirements of this holy day is to perform sacrifices in the temple. Now, do you want a symbol of power in the first century Palestine? That's the temple to the Lord God Almighty. Now, this was originally built by Solomon back around 950 BC, but that one was razed by the Babylonians when they came and destroyed all of Jerusalem in 586. It was then rebuilt about 80 years later by the prophets Ezra and Nehemiah and funded by the Persians. But that reconstruction was a poor copy of the original, especially after it was desecrated by the Greeks around 250 BC. They sacrificed a pig on the altar. So by the time Herod comes to power at the end of the first century BC, and due in large part to his huge ego, Herod undergoes a massive overhaul of the existing structure. And that was the temple of Jesus' day, 46 years after Herod started that reconstruction. Now, the temple is important to the people of Israel because, from their point of view, the temple is where the Lord God Almighty lives here on earth. They thought he needed an actual physical residence. A faithful Jewish person was required to go to the temple to do the sacrifices. Now, originally, those sacrifices could be you brought your own, right? You brought your own dove or lamb or goat or grain or whatever. But as the businesses grew and human beings kept acting like human beings, in our own self-interest, fewer and fewer of those homegrown sacrifices were being accepted. You know, the priest would say, "No, I'm sorry, that lamb's got a blemish, that dove's not quite right. But look, why don't you go right over here to these cellars over here? Those sacrificial animals are all pre-approved, so you can buy one of those animals, and that won't be a problem. But you know, you can't buy it with that Roman coin. You've got to go over here and exchange your coin, because your Roman coin has got an image of the emperor on it, and we're not supposed to buy anything. We're not supposed to use coins with graven images on it." The buyers and money changers are marking up everything. The priests are getting kickbacks, and the worship of the Lord God Almighty has become a business. So when you heard that I promised to never compromise, did you maybe think, yeah, you know what, that's right, that's what Jesus did. He didn't compromise because he goes into the temple, he sees all this garbage that's going on, the selling of critters, the exchange of coins, the extreme profit being made at the expense of the poor, and maybe Jesus thought, no more! I've had it, I'm done, I'm not putting up with this poor excuse of faith that these people are doing it. And Jesus drove them out of the temple, he overturned the table, he disrupts the status quo. And I can almost imagine the people who were being misused and abused by the system, kind of, you know, just standing around the outskirts of the courtyard going, yeah! You know, and I get this mental picture of action hero Jesus, you know, merchants cowering along the side where here comes Jesus doing that slow motion walk through the dust, you know, whip in one hand, fire glinting in his eyes, the wind blowing his hair back out of his face, and we're thinking, that's right! Never compromise! But is that really what Jesus meant? I don't think so. I think rather than no compromise, Jesus rather wisely restored the balance of power. Jesus saw how out of whack things were, how the poor who barely had enough to get by were being drained by the merchants and the priests and the wealthy, all of who had more than enough and kept wanting even more. Jesus made Paul's words to the Corinthians relevant even before Paul had written them. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus was being foolish because by disrupting the money-making transactions of the temple, he did not endear himself to those who were profiting from it monetarily. But there is power in that foolishness. And there is wisdom in doing what might appear to be unwise. Now, the first time that I heard that commercial, I promise to never compromise, my thought was, what an arrogant thing to promise. How can anyone ever agree to anything if neither of us is willing to compromise? And what kind of an agreement can we come to if only one of us is willing to compromise? That's an imbalance of power, and it is definitely not wise. Now, before I get into any trouble, I have to say I have no idea of how good a phone this is. I'm not in the market for a new phone. I'm not going to go check it out. But what I am interested in, and what does concern me, is that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to listen to one another. We are called to pray for one another, to help those who are in need, and when we ourselves are in need, that we not be too proud to ask for that help. Allow Jesus to drive out the pride and envy and anger and whatever else it is that we have in our own hearts that is keeping us from worshiping the Lord God. And permit Christ to restore that balance of God's grace and love and forgiveness and strength into each of us once again.